This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you, or good morning, depending where you're at on this planet. Today is April 11th, 2012. My name is Doug Kelly. This is Metaphysical Universe. We're so glad you could join us. And, of course, we have Dr. Vicki Hunter with us.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone.
It is a good evening unless it's morning where you're at. Then it's a good morning.
That's right.
Yes, I have these nuggets of wisdom that I like to spew forth. So,
well, we're just glad everybody's here. Good
yes.
to be here.
And, of course, this is Metaphysical Universe, a program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. We explore science and spirituality. We explore the human spirit. We empower the human spirit. We have topics that help people live better lives, more successful lives, better relationships, so on and so forth. So tonight, we are going to be talking about Dr. Vicki Hunter's own body-thought-memory integration, how to release the past and embrace the future. We're going to talk about thoughts and memories getting stored in the body and all that stuff. It's pretty interesting stuff. So Dr. Vicki is going to talk about that. We'd like to welcome everyone who is joining us for this live program in the chat room and those who are listening to the archive too. If you have a question tonight, the live listeners, you can certainly ask it in the chat room. Or if you'd like to call in, you can do that too. Dr. John Hightower, as always, is screening your calls. The numbers are on your screen if you want to call in, 714-459-3973. And here a little bit later, Dr. Vicki is going to do a guided meditation based on the topics we discussed tonight. So that's all I got. The rest is up to you, Vicki.
That's all you got. You know, I just want to say, we do a lot of good shows. Doug, you and I have talked, and you mentioned earlier about we have an archives full of really wonderful programming. So, you know, if you're listening out there and you want to go in the archives, feel free to do so. Tell your friends about it. There's good stuff in there. We've had some really good discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight's no exception. It's much of it, I think, in so many ways, people have heard before, Doug, but I hope, and we both hope, that it's presented in a way here that it's just that little bit different, and it might mm-hmm. trigger something for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, presentation's everything, and like you said, we have a lot of good stuff in these archives. I mean, this is excellent for relationship building, for more successful self-esteem, or a better sense of that. You know, there's so much good stuff in there, just real life stuff, down to earth, real life, good common sense stuff. And it's just trying to get folks to tune in because, you know, this kind of these life skills stuff, honestly, most people is probably just not as interesting as talking about ghosts or spirits or aliens or whatever. We talk about those too, but, you know, this stuff helps us to live more successful lives. And it's so important. We have to build a foundation first. We have to build a foundation of good life skills before we go do anything else and expect to be successful at it.
Well, you know, time and time again, we've said that we have to know who we are, how we process, to know what we're looking at. Because mm-hmm. all of our realities are based on our belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, how we've been raised or events that kind of tend to, although we hope they don't, but they do tend to define how we see the world.
Yeah.
And which is actually the premise of tonight's program, memory, you know, how we build our thinking, our feelings, our, you know, our whole conduct is based on how we've stored experience, how our memories have stored it. Now, in generalized psychology, you know, they have it all kind of broken down, but implicit, explicit, and procedural memory. But if we just think of it this way, we emotionally recall events, we mentally recall events, but we also have, you know, these other parts of the brain that store information that's kind of different. And sometimes all of the above collides. You know, it's like you can emotionally remember something that happened to you as a child, but did it really? You know, and because, you know, you have a whole bunch of children raised in one house and they all have a whole different memory of mom and dad, you know, and usually that's emotional. It's an emotionally based memory, not just a mental memory. And of course, even as adults, you know, this is the big seller for self-help books is how to get in touch with your inner child, how to, you know, make peace with trauma, abuse, and so on. And there's great value in these books. There's tremendous value in the literature. But it's more to it than that. So it's like, okay, you read all the books and you do all the work, and how come you're still tripping? You know, how come you still keep making the same error? Why do we keep tripping over things? You know, it's like we have an emotional limp. Well, literally, I think sometimes, well, that's how I've often defined myself. You know, some days, oh, I'm emotionally limping over myself again. But there's other kinds of memory that store in us that we're going to talk about tonight that's even energy. And I'm going to translate all of that into energetic memory, and how we can very simply change the energy through thought, and how what kinds of, you know, thoughts we give energy. And we're going to do it on command rather than it getting us. We're going to be the directors of it, but through the simplest ways. We don't have to remember an event that happened when you were five. You don't have to remember the event that caused you to have a particular kind of thinking at age 12. You don't have to have those things, but we do have to have a general kind of understanding of memory and just, you know, how unconscious these things can happen. And so to have an understanding basically of what we call cellular memory, we also have a DNA memory. We can talk about that for a minute, that goes back many generations. Like how you have blue eyes, how you have, you know, certain color of hair. That's all the genetic memory. And, you know, science now has data to say it's potentially possible for us to carry other kinds of memory from previous generations. So that's a really fascinating study if anybody's ever interested in exploring that more. But it's the other kinds of physical memory that we're going to talk about tonight. So perhaps the best place to begin is more like a story. I love stories.
Stories are good.
Stories are always good. I think I actually have said this story in a previous show back in the archives. But, you know, that's good. Anybody can go to the archives. I'm an archive seller tonight, Doug.
Sounds like
so,
it.
It's all right. It was about 18, 19 years ago when I was in martial arts training, which I had decided to do when I was 37. I decided to take on the task. But a very interesting thing kept happening as I was going through my training is I kept breaking, literally breaking my toes on my left foot. It was like, but why always that foot? It happened 3 times I actually broke it. Many times I injured it. And it was really starting to be, there's something to this. I happened to be, when I was working in the media, I happened to have a wonderful opportunity of interviewing a fellow who's an anthropologist from Korea for a TV show. But on the sidebar, we were having a conversation. I was telling him, because I think I had broken toes at that time, and I was telling him what had happened. So he shared with me that the healers back in his country in the older days would treat an injury like a broken bone the first time, and they may even treat it the second time if it reoccurs, but they would refuse somebody treatment on the third time until they got to the bottom of their issue. And it really started putting some light bulbs on for me. I said, wow. And he said, what did you do to that left foot that you need to, you know, really get back in touch with that it keeps re-injuring? Duh. Well, as it was, I had been at 5 years old, I broke my left ankle. Now, it's really amazing what the mind will do to tune out pain. And I guess it never corrected itself, or certainly I was never conscious enough to correct it. I didn't know that I even had to correct it. So I started doing some meditations. Sorry, go ahead there.
So the correct the broken ankle, it didn't set correctly? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there was that part, but I think there was a part of my unconscious mind that tuned out the pain no matter how it healed. I tuned out the pain. We can anesthetize pain with the mind. But I think what I was starting to learn about is that we can turn a switch on to anesthetize pain. But how do we get it back?
It's like, we want to get it back.
Well, this would be a big question. If it's healed and no longer in pain, then what is the thought then? Okay, I pushed that switch, tuned out that left foot, so I didn't have pain, but I didn't necessarily turn the pain switch off again to collect the energy. Does that make sense? I wasn't in touch with it anymore. Tuned it out. And that's the best way I can describe that. Sometimes we can tune out body parts. We can tune out areas of the body and be completely oblivious to them now because we have this skill in our brains to tune them out. Well, it's like the eye will filter what it doesn't need to see. You know, we can filter out sounds. Well, we can filter out pain. But pain in the body is really important. I mean, we have to have that signal of pain to know what to correct.
Right.
But if you've numbed it out, it's like if you keep taking a Tylenol and you don't know life without Tylenol, then you never know if you are in pain or not. Well, I think thought can be much the same way. So as I was doing meditations to kind of create an energy flow, it's the nearest way I can explain it, to create an energy flow with that foot and say, hey, we're all one body now. You don't need to be tuned out. I got you. I have never injured that foot since. Which was, I said, oh.
So it sounds to me like you, I don't know, I'm not even sure quite how to describe it, but it's, so you didn't tune it out anymore and you never injured it again. And I'm looking at this thinking, okay, so something in your brain clicked that said, it's almost a recognition of that issue, if you will.
But that's as near as I can explain it, too.
I mean, it's like, okay, something clicked, oh, okay, now I understand, and no longer an issue.
Well, if you have a pain in your shoulder, for instance, and it just gets stiff, you don't know that you're walking funny.
Right.
You can tune out the pain, but your shoulders are kind of crooked. You know?
Right.
And until you start to say, wait a minute, I need to straighten out my shoulders, and I need to relax that muscle, and I need to get a balance back, you know, that shoulder will be crooked and you won't even know it. Because you don't know it unless you look in the mirror. Or unless you try to go lift something heavy and you can't because you're one-sided. You see, there's these triggers, I think, that tell us something is amiss, something in our thinking to a body part or our thinking to the body is just not quite right. It's out of sync. So as long as we can be conscious of an area of the body, let's say your shoulder, and say, okay, I'm going to just relax that muscle. I'm going to, you know, get some pressure points going, get a flow of energy, and then you start walking more symmetrically. Then there's the balance. And besides that, I might add that, you know, also encourages blood flow. It encourages, you know, so much more to it that's, you know, good body health. You won't get the headaches. You won't get, you know, that dowager hump in the back of your neck and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a whole list of ailments that can come from one pinched nerve that you tune out, but you start reshaping your body. that causes other problems. So it's like a chain reaction, no different than my broken toes. So if I want to not break my toes, I have to be conscious of the foot. Well, to be conscious of the foot, it's like plugging myself back in again to be awake to it. So it just all kind of started to make sense to me about thought and energy. Now, here's kind of a key that I think is important to acknowledge. We can't necessarily tell the body how to heal because the body knows better than we do. We only think we know stuff. We don't really. The body is this extraordinary organism that's just so multi-layered, and it's really fascinating if you study some anatomy, even the basics of it. Like, really, how do we function as well as we do when you think about it? So how do you recover from the flu? How do you recover from a cold? How do you recover from that? Well, we don't really know. We just kind of say one day, boy, I'm sick of this cold. And the body just starts to heal. Usually that's how it works.
I thought it was the antibodies finally get the virus.
Well, how many times, Doug, have you tried to fight a cold? And you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it, but you're just not well for like a week or two. And finally you say to yourself, that's it, I'm done. Get sick then. I can't fight this anymore.
I know what you're saying.
So then you speed up the process, and okay, you're on your back for 24 hours, you feel kind of crummy, and then the body can do its healing. But the longer we fight something, you know, the longer it hangs on and it hangs on. So if we just kind of relax with it and just say, okay, body, do what you got to do. I guess I'm building my immune system, or I need to go through that process. Then it lets it, gives it permission to heal. And I think that's that positive energy, too. The body knows what to do. We think we know what to do, but we don't. All we're doing is having the thought, okay, I'm going to go be sick for a minute. I'm sick. Resign yourself to being sick. Go for it. And then it speeds up to heal. The body knows what to do to heal. So if we're in partnership with this, then it rather than stopping it, like a good healer knows you don't stop a disease. You give it permission to heal and speed up the process.
So, I agree that the body knows what to do. I mean, it's like an automatic thing. It's one of those things we've used in hypnosis and in meditation, visualization. You know, one of them that my wife uses when she's sick is imagining, zillions of these tiny little soldiers going into the body and doing battle and triumphing over these bad, you know, these virus cells or whatever. You know, the body knows what to do. It just, it's a cool thing. You know, I want this. I want more of this, more health, more. It's like thin within, you know. You can even visualize that. Body knows how to eliminate the excess.
Yeah, the body knows what to do, and I'm totally with it. It's like the good soldiers and the bad soldiers, because we have good bacteria in the body, and we have other bacteria that can get out of whack. You know, that's what I mean. But when the body starts getting a little bit, you know, out of whack, out of balance, then, you know, the body has these mechanisms that, okay, charges in those good soldiers. But what if we, in a thought, can help the body? What if with a thought of energy or a visualization of energy can help the body? So how can we set everything right? Well, you know, one of the biggest studies for many thousands of years has been about chakra energy. And just to clarify what a chakra is, it came more from the Middle East and the study of this. It's if you think about the body as a rainbow, there's a rainbow of color that cohesively keeps the body together as a form of energy. So, you know, we're all familiar with the white light, breathe a white light in or white light around. Well, what is in the white light? you know, what is that? It's kind of like a variation of many colors. And so these colors that that have been taught through time is I'm just going to go through them really quickly from the top to bottom. Violet at the top of the head. That's where that soft spot on baby's head is that closes over in time. That's where, you know, we believe that, you know, the soul connects with the body and, of course, that silver thread all the way down the spine. So if you just visualize that for a moment, that violet at the top of the head, and then you've got this that third eye energy, which connects to the pineal gland, which is kind of inside the brain. It's kind of a quarter into quarter. And it's that's an indigo color. And we're going to go down again through the throat. Chakra is blue. The heart is green. Then you get into that solar plexus emotional area, which is yellow. That's the sun. Visualize that for a moment. Then into the lower intestinal area, the reproductive area, which is orange, and the root chakra, right closest to the earth, the, you know, tailbone, the bottom of your spine that anchors you into your body is red. So if you think red under the ground is kind of the root, you think, go up for a moment and think about the heart, and you can draw a parallel to all the things on the earth. So that's the mid-world. You know, the grass, the trees, and so on, that's green, that's in your heart center. And then the violet, way up on top again, that connects is, that's all part of, like, the sky. And think about a rainbow, literally, when you do that. So up the blue, up to the violet. And all of these colors together are white. So that's a general understanding of chakras. Our bodies are rainbows of energy. And, you know, the whole point of what I was wanting to learn more about, as spirits in a body, you know, what is this energy and how can we work with that energy to stay grounded, understand more about thought, understand more about thoughts in the body that gets us out of whack, much the same, drawing a parallel to, you know, physical experience, emotional experience, and mental experience. So it kind of all, like a big spider web, kind of all weaves together for me in my understanding of energy and thought, body, memory. And that's how I, you know, slowly started to develop the body, thought, memory integration process. So, and that's kind of that, I have a whole other, you know, methodology that goes with it, defined thoughts in the body. But just for tonight's show and talking about memory and how to release from memory, I just thought tonight this is an opportunity for me to share how to release memory and emotions and experiences just with energy.
That are contained in the body. Body memory.
Contained in the body. Yeah, and that can just be released with a thought and just giving, acknowledging that thoughts have color. And there's another process. Now, I understand, I know I've been talking, and there is a question in the chat room, Doug, that came up. So I haven't really been keeping up with it as I've been talking away, you know. So well, can you share the question with me?
Janice makes a comment. I'm struggling with the grief of my husband's suicide 1 year ago. How do I heal?
Well, you know, nobody can tell you how to do that, Janice. I appreciate that very much. I mean, I haven't lost a husband to suicide, but I've lost a brother to suicide, a mother to suicide. I've lost cousins to suicide. It's a topic I'm very well familiar with, I'm afraid to say, but it's you know, it is one of these things in life we very often deal with. There's no one way to heal. There is no one way through grief. It's your way through your grief. And there's, you know, probably layers and layers of thought. You're dealing with memory. You're dealing with, you know, your own helplessness. You know, geez, it's endless. It's just endless. What we carry with us when things happen by trauma such as this, and it's so severe. I mean, it's there is no, geez, can I talk about it later? Or, you know, going back to the source to say, geez, could I do something better? I mean, when it comes to matters of death, that individual, the body is gone. In my reality, Janice, the soul is not gone. The spirit is not gone. For as traumatic as my brother's suicide was, I mean, he did live for a while and didn't come out of surgery, I'm afraid, but I was there when his soul left his body. It was the most extraordinary experience of my life to help that, or to be a part of. I don't think I helped anything, but it was helpful for me to be a part of, literally watching. I could see it, this energy, and in my mind's eye, were physical. I couldn't tell you, you know, what was real at that moment, but as he would lift from his body, and I have, you know, seen my brother on many occasions since then. He always comes when he's needed, you know, or somebody needs him. But there's no, you know, I'm going to tell you that was in 1985. There's some people we lose that there is no time and space. 1985, and that day, a matter of fact, you know, November 17th, you want to talk about emotional memory, body memory? I can be driving my car and start weeping, and I don't know why. I say, oh, why? What's going on? It's like involuntary. And I say, oh, what day is it? Oh, well, of course. Oh, pardon me, November 16th. And I had a collide of thoughts there. And it's kind of like an ingrained date into my body. You know, much like if you tell your body to wake up at 6 a.m., you will wake up at 6 a.m. It's like automatic. And so there's no time and space with some losses. It's like it happened yesterday. And nobody can take that away from me. Nobody can. That's my experience. Is it better? You know, life is as it is. I have learned to live with the pain. And it's another one of those things. And I'm talking about my foot earlier. I had learned to live with the pain. And so this is one of these things, grief and this kind of loss. You will learn to live with the pain. And over the years to come, you don't know this today, but in the years to come, you will collect these parts of your spirit that you let go with him. And you become more whole as you ground yourself back into your life. But there's no easy way. There's no one way. There's no any kind of trauma or loss. There is no one way to healing. There is no one way to say, this is what to do. There's a lot of books you can read. There's a lot of... matter of fact, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is a wonderful author of The Seven Steps to Processing Through Grief. I highly recommend her. Geez, how long has she been around, Doug?
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross? You know, she's been around forever. I'm not sure if she still is. I think she's passed now.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful writing. An extraordinary woman. There's processes. There are processes, but it doesn't mean you'll do it in a linear way. It doesn't mean that, oh, I'll take 5 minutes for this, 10 years for that, oh, 20 minutes for this. There is no one way, because you had a unique relationship. And I always say relationships are fingerprinted in the universe. No two are alike. So we can empathize with each other. We can connect with each other. We can be there in support of one another. But it's still yours. This is my pain. I'm going to tell you quite honestly. Janice and anybody else who's listening, I was very selfish about my pain losing my brother. I owned it. I wanted it. It was like, you can't tell me how to love someone. You can't tell me how to grieve someone. You know, and it's like, that was mine. And there's a beauty in it being mine.
Well, it's control.
Well, sure it is. But it's the uniqueness of the experience, too, that I was hanging on to that uniqueness through hanging on to the pain. You know, as I say, though, over time, we do learn a thing called respect. And I respect somebody's will to leave, and their determination to leave, their choices to leave. It doesn't mean we have to like it, but I had to respect it. Mm-hmm. And over time, you see, again, we deal with our own helplessness, right? It's because we all want to fix it. You know, we don't want somebody to leave. No, wait a minute, Doug, don't leave me. We can talk about this and we can fix this.
Right.
But that's not the case. I can't fix you.
Well, you talked about processes that are unique. And I don't know, for whatever it's worth, I have a couple of thoughts to share on this, even though I haven't really had anybody close to me commit suicide. I can think and know the processes that I would go through, and some of them would be conflicting. You know, one thing I do know is that to try to understand why somebody takes their own life is something that is not a logical thing. In other words, you can't understand it, so don't try to understand it. It's not your stuff, it's their stuff. And that's another thing. You can't take ownership of that. When somebody kills themselves, there's, you know, it's almost like survivor's guilt, but it's not your stuff. It's their stuff. And so you can't try to take ownership. What could I have done? Could I have done something differently? And go down that path. You just can't do that, because that's a self-destructive path. So you have to look at it for what it is, to understand that you can't understand the logical reasons why somebody would do that. You can't take ownership of their stuff on you. So those are two big points. The other part about the grief, and this is just good advice for any kind of grief whatsoever, when you go through something that you're grieving, it could be a loss of anything, of a pet, a friend, a loved one, a thing, whatever, a situation, a circumstance, whatever it is. You know, when that grief hits you, experience it for all it's worth. For 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, experience it for all it's worth and then release it. Vicki, you have a 10-minute thing.
I sure do.
And so, and then the last thing that I would go through is anger. Why did you do this? Because you see, they're gone. Well, you know, in the physical form, they're gone. And here we are left with the grief and all the other things that we might feel, including the guilt. And so I would be angry. Why? You know, why did you do this? Because, you know, you don't have to experience it anymore. Now we're left to do it. So all of that combined, one of the most important things that anybody can do, well, in life, period, but especially in the situation, too, is to take your power back. You know, feel the pain, feel the grief when it comes, release it, and move on with your life. Ask yourself, what would they want me to do? And then try to honor that and not allow that grief, the guilt, whatever it is you're feeling, to consume you.
Well, it can be paralyzing. This, mm-hmm. If I can just share with Janice and others, this is the 10-minute formula. I applied in my own life for many, many things with my dad, and I share it in grief counseling, is if you have to do the 10-minute, you know, go for broke 20 times a day, you do that. But the minute the 10 minutes is up, you wipe your tears, you blow your nose, and go do the dishes. Because now you're the manager. See, this is the thing.
Absolutely.
You're the manager of your time and your energy output. And look, if it comes back in another wave in an hour, then you do it again. Let her rip for 10 minutes. Dry your tears, blow your nose, wash your face, and go vacuum the rug. Again, you're still participating in the daily life events. You're the manager of your day, because here's the deal. The bottom line, they are dead. You are not.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. That's it. So.
And you do that, and you'll find the grief lessening over time. Time it takes it releases the energy of it. You still grieve them later, but the paralyzing part of it will lessen over time.
And then that 10 minutes is 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of 20 times a day, it's 3 times a day. There's an interesting thing that does kind of switch over, and it's called survivor's guilt. And where you are so afraid you're going to forget them, and you're afraid that if you're going to miss your 10 minutes for the day, you know, that's another phase or a stage of it. But here's the thing, they never leave. And you get, in my reality, you know, the soul is never gone in that way. The spirit is, it's immortal, we're mortal. But the bottom line is we are here. We still have things to manage. You still have people who rely on you, that you play a part in this world, on this earth, and we have to move forward. And we're still participants down here. So another thing that I might suggest, though, Janice, is calling your spirit back. And do this exercise, you know, 2, 3, 10 times a day if you need to. Is you sit down in your chair and you look up in the sky, you picture your husband's face and call your own name out. Call your own name out loud so that you bring your spirit back here. Because part of you can't be out there. You know, he doesn't need you out there. He's on his way. He's doing his thing. You need to be here. So you can't be, in other words, half dead yourself. So
excellent advice.
So bring your spirit back. Call your name out loud. It's that out loud is so impactful, the power of voice, and that energy, and your body feels it. And again, we're going back into that body memory. The body resonates with your own name, your identity. So bring it back into your body. Do it at least once a day, but I recommend that you do it 3, 4, 5 times a day. And even if you're doing dishes and you feel yourself kind of floating around, just say, hey, Janice. And it just brings you back for a second. Just that little bit of a jolt.
And that's so, taking your power back.
Absolutely. And you're your own manager.
Mm-hmm.
This sucks. I don't care what way you look at it, Doug. I mean, this stuff sucks.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It's just crappy. But so, this is the reality of life, though.
So could this kind of thing be part of the whole body thought memory
absolutely
process?
Absolutely.
And how so, and what would a person do?
Well, you know, one of the things that I do is I assign thoughts color. You know, let's just be sensible for a moment. If somebody wants to lose weight, for instance, what is the most likely place that energy lives? You know, it's down in that red chakra, the active force, the physical. Because the idea of weight, the notion or the thought of weight, is physical. So let's go in that lower half of the body. If somebody wants to go on a different kind of eating program and wants to lose weight, then think in terms of orange and red, lower part of the body. If you want to think about, we talk about this one a lot, like earning more money, finding more finances. Well, let's give it like that creativity, you know, let's give it an orange yellow kind of creativity with a bit of red. So give it that kind of a color, because money, interestingly enough, is usually thought of as green. I think that's part of the seduction that we become emotionally attached to money. And that's the heart center. That money has no place in the heart center, none at all. So it's being able to assign thoughts a color and use your sensibility. You know, it's perhaps, Janice, when you think about your husband, give him a violet color. You know, give him an indigo violet color, which is very spiritual and ethereal, and release that just kind of as that in that energy form. So does that make sense, Doug, to give mm-hmm. thought color?
Sure. Well, and then you got to do something with it. Let it evaporate into the ether.
Release that. Mm-hmm. If you want to speak on your own behalf, for instance, blue. That's the throat chakra, the lower jaw. You know, this is spiritually and physically. How do we speak on our own behalf? One day I really want to do a voice lesson on air here, because voice is critical to how we present ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, and how we present ourselves in the world. If we're just talking through our throat, you know, a lot of people just live in their throat and they choke on it, you know, and they start to stutter too. So it's, think about blue when you have something to say. Think about your throat and release that. Just let it go forward. So giving thoughts a color that makes sense in the body starts to participate. Of course, I do have another, you know, a numbers of exercises for people to, you know, release these things, but we want them to move. So perhaps, unless there are any questions, this is a really good time, Doug, for us to do a meditation and how to move energy and release energy through the body through the use of this body thought memory integration meditation. I do it often myself, often with other people, and it's very effective, and I think people such as Janice, I think you'll find it most beneficial. So if everyone would just sit comfortably in your chair, you know, as you feel comfortable, and breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth for a moment. And just, you know, that first breath is kind of just like, oh, from the throat and the chest. And then we're going to take another one. Take another breath in. That's right. And just hold that for a moment and let it release. Let it release. We're going to do this four times all together. So let's take that third breath. Goes in a little deeper. Air is everything. Remember that. In through the nose and out through the mouth. And again. Right deep, expanding the chest. Hold and release through the mouth. Release through the mouth. That's it. And just relax. Get air in your body. Relax your shoulders. Get comfortable again. That's right. Close your eyes and visualize the top of your head. This is where your spirit joins to your body. Violet. Visualize violet in and around the top of your head. Remember when, hopefully you remember when you were a baby, you had a soft spot there, and eventually that skull cap started to grow over and grounded you into your body. But we want to have that energy flow, pulse. Imagine a violet energy pulsing in the top of your head. Now breathe in, violet. Breathe it in. Go right to the top of the head. Breathe it in and release violet. Release it just comfortably. Breathe comfortably. And we've begun. Violet at the top of the head. Anything that does not belong there. Sometimes you can, in your mind's eye, you can see this murky, shadowy kind of pulsing of energy that doesn't belong to violet. I want you to send it down now. Release it. Tell it to, like little tentacles, release down through the body. Don't worry about what happens to it. Don't worry about it. Just release it. Let it go. Anything that doesn't belong to violet, command it to go. And breathe in again, violet, to the top of the head. Restore violet to the color of your original design at birth. Breathe in and out and relax. Relax to violet. Move down to the forehead, around the top of the head, the top of the ears even, in that area is indigo. Some people call it the place of the third eye, where intuition lives. It's what your spirit sees. Indigo. Breathe in indigo. Breathe it in. Visualize indigo. It's a beautifully deep red-blue color. Imagine that indigo. Breathe it in. Release it. Breathe it out. Now, anything that does not belong there, sometimes it feels cloudy. You can see something that's murky, shadowy, that doesn't belong to indigo. Tell it to move down, move out now. Let it go. Don't worry about what happens to it. Release it. Go back to indigo. Indigo, breathe it in. Again, the third eye, indigo. Restore indigo to the color of your natural design at birth. What you were born to see. Breathe and relax. That's right. Now we're going to move down the lower jaw, down through the throat, the upper neck area. This is blue. It resonates to blue. Maybe it helps to visualize the sky, water. This is how you speak spiritually on your own behalf. Breathe in blue. That wonderful warm blue. And cooling and relaxing all at the same time. Blue. Breathe it in and release. Now go back to that blue area. Anything that doesn't belong there. Anything shadowy, murky. Anything that doesn't belong to blue. Instruct it to move down. Now, release it. Gone. Let it go. Go back to blue. Feel blue. Visualize your blue. Breathe in blue. Restore blue to the color of your natural design at birth. Relax. Down through the shoulders, the top of the chest, the lungs, the heart, the upper rib cage. This is green. Breathe in green. Visualize trees, the grass, the top of the earth, green. This is the center point of your body, where your spirit and your body are in partnership and in balance. Breathe in green. Exhale, green, and relax. Now, anything that doesn't belong to green, anything that's shadowy, murky, cloudy, we're going to do the same again. Instruct it to move down. Move down, move out now. Release. Go back to green. That beautiful, wonderful heart center of green. Restore green to its natural color at the design of your birth. Relax. Down again, yellow. That's the solar plexus, the stomach, the upper digestive tract. It's like the sun, the emotional center, we call it. A beautiful, bright yellow. Breathe in yellow. Feed that solar plexus. Yellow. Breathe it in and exhale. Relax. Going deeper into the body. Anything that doesn't belong in yellow, go in there. Dig around. Anything that doesn't belong there, anything murky, cloudy, shadowy, instruct it to move down. Release. Down. Now. Relax. Go back into yellow. Breathe that yellow back into your solar plexus. Restore yellow to the color of its natural design at your birth. Relax. Now, just a little further down into the body, the lower intestinal area, this is where the kidneys are, the reproductive organs are, the hip bones. Orange, all your creativity lives here. Your ideas live here. The new life that you bring into this world lives here. Breathe in orange. Let it pulse. Let it beam orange. Breathe it in. Exhale. Breathe it in. Orange. Visualize that area. Once again, anything that doesn't belong to orange, anything that's murky, cloudy, shadowy, anything that disturbs this orange, this bright, beautiful orange, you command it to move down, move up, move on now. Release it. Release it down. That's right. Breathe in orange. Restore orange to the color of its natural design at your birth. Relax. Breathe and relax. We're moving further down into the hips, the tailbone. This is the root chakra. This is where you're connected with the earth. Red, a deep, wonderful red. Breathe it in. Pulse it into your tailbone. Breathe in red. Exhale red. And relax. Relax. Anything that does not belong to this beautiful, deep, red, rich color in your root chakra, instruct it to move down, move out. Let the universe take care of it. Release that. Release anything that does not belong to your red. Release it to the universe. Let the universe take care of it. It has nothing to do with you anymore. Release it and relax. Release. Breathe in red. Breathe it deep, right down into your spine, into your root chakra. Breathe it in. And exhale red. Breathe it in again. Restore red. Restore that color. The color of the original design at your birth. This is your design, your red, your color. Breathe in and relax. Relax. Now all of these colors together are white. Breathe in white. Breathe it into your body. Breathe white from the top of your head all the way down through your spine, through all your chakras, right to your root chakra. Fill your body with white, white energy. Breathe it in. Exhale white. Bathe in white, your aura. Feel it pulse around you. White. Breathe it in. Relax. White. Relax. And as a final note for you in the power of thought, project yourself to have a wonderful sleep tonight and a wonderful day tomorrow, rested, refreshed, optimistic, beaming on your white light. Now on the count of three, you will open your eyes, refreshed and alert, feeling relaxed, knowing that you have come one step closer to restoring who you are born to be. Well, Doug, are you with us?
Excellent meditation.
Thank
Very
you.
Nicely done.
Thank you. It's always been a wonderful benefit for me, if especially when my body gets out of sorts or my emotions get out of sorts, I want to make sure I'm all lined up, you know, just line it all up. Because we do, we all can get cluttered from time to time. So I hope that helps everyone. I hope they've learned something. And keep in mind that if you're going to work on chakras, do them all. And make sure you go from the top down because you're grounded. There's a lot of meditation stuff where they work chakras from the bottom up. That's for ascending spiritual knowledge. That's for beaming off the planet, so to speak. I like to stay in my body myself. Well, a great show. And, you know, I would like to say to Janice, thank you for sharing. And thanks to everyone for participating. It's very touchy stuff, and you know, we're here, we're just here, and we're here every week. So go into the archives, everybody. I'm back on my archive kick.
Yeah, we really appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. Let your friends know, and others, you know, let them know what you learned here tonight. Next week we're going to be talking about how to find and strengthen your self-confidence. So join us for that. Then the week after, we'll talk about chakras proper and have an interesting conversation that way.
Yes.
So, if you like what you're hearing, please visit us at mchschurch.org, the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. If you would like to learn more about metaphysics and improve your life, more success, improve your relationships, visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can get your doctoral degree in metaphysics and specialize in a number of different areas as you desire: counseling, coaching, even paranormal and hypnosis, and on and on. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the program tonight. Thank you, Dr. Vicki, for sharing all that with us, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. Have a great week. Good night.